We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Well, it's a big one in the metal landscape. Invincible Shield, Judas Priest's 19th studio album. We got it a couple weeks ago, and we're here tonight to tell you all about it before it drops tomorrow. We're joined by two of our New Jersey guys, Metal Walt, Vince McDowell.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to speaking about the album.
This album, man, I feel like we've been waiting for this for a long time because we've heard so much about it, right? They were writing during a pandemic. You heard bits and pieces of this stuff coming through, but there was a mystery until that first song dropped, and then the second song dropped, and the third, and the fourth. We got the advance. It's big. It's heavy. It's killer. You're going to love it, guys. You're going to love it. There's so much of this we want to talk about today. And it's Invincible Shield. That's all I'm going to say. Killer stuff.
So we brought Vince onto the team about 6 months ago. Hell of a writer. He's been handling some of our CD reviews. So quickly tell us, what's your roundup on this?
Well, I think it all hinges on your opinion of Firepower, because I think it takes the template of Firepower and it doubles down on everything that made that album successful. And the stars of the show are Richie Faulkner and Scott Travis, in my opinion. The razor sharp guitars, the drumming, everything's taken up a notch. There's very little filler in this album, except if you get the bonus edition. And I think that in turn inspired Halford into some of the best singing of his career. It's again, there's an amazing resurgence between the Saxon and the Bruce Dickinson. The old guard is just showing what it's like to be metal. It's amazing what they're doing.
Well, we have three strong personalities here, and we're all going to have our different interpretations. Right off the bat, there's some discrepancies in your opinion and my opinion, but we'll get to that. Metal Walt, kick this off. Let's start talking about the first three tracks, because they're three bangers. What do you got?
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I mean, when the band released Firepower, I thought they released the first single was a clunker. And you know what? I was disappointed in it. It was too short and catchy and poppy. But they come out this time with Panic Attack. Panic Attack has everything. It's long. It's epic. There's shades of all of these little things you hear from the past, yet it's heavy. You're like, oh boy, that could have been on Painkiller. Oh boy, that little guitar sounding keyboard playing, that could have been on Turbo. But then you hear the songs coming after it, The Serpent and the King, and then the title track, and you're just like, holy crap, man. I've been waiting for this Priest start on an album for a long time. I mean, when was the last time you could think of a Priest album where you could, like, sink your teeth in and absolutely fucking love the first three tracks?
Screaming for Vengeance.
Okay.
Screaming for Vengeance.
1982, John. It's a 1982.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that you asked when was the last time, and I answered, you know, the Electric Eye, Riding on the Wind, and the third track that escapes me right now. But yeah, so you're right. My interpretation of Panic Attack, love the buildup. Obviously, it's a killer opening song of the album. Like you said, it possesses all those elements. I love the way Rob's singing in this. He's staying in his range. He's staying in his lane. It sounds good. Classic Priest sound, memorable chorus. Vince, what's your take on Panic Attack?
I like it. It has the elements. I mean, in my opinion, it's the closest to Painkiller. The length, the multiple guitar solos, that kind of that fake final verse that leads into another verse that leads into the ending. I actually like his delivery, even if his lyrics may be a little elementary. I like that little frantic panic attack he puts in. It gives it that little extra that kind of just shows that he was thoughtful and was really putting an effort into it, not just a bland panic attack. Like, it grabbed me from the start. I think it was a great first single.
And it's also, I mean, he went on record to say it was written about, you know, the generation of people that the toxicity that's happening of people sitting behind their phones and their computers and social media. That's what it's about.
The second track, The Serpent and the King, a fantastic song. The chorus is outstanding. The groove of the song just chugs right along. The chorus, all I'm going to say is addicting. They struck gold with this chorus of The Serpent and the King. And the cool thing here is this song does not overstay its welcome. It's just like the perfect length. And I think it's the perfect second song.
I echo your sentiments. It's a great song. I think it kind of revived the interest of some of the people who may have not enjoyed the other two singles that were released previously. I think it's another great representation of what the album is offering. And like you said, it's the first three to four songs are just top notch. I mean, they really grab you from the start.
Vince, that's what I love about that track is after hearing it for the first time and then knowing it was going to be, let's say, the fourth single, like, that's a ballsy move, right? I mean, that's what we've been waiting for. Like, I would have taken that track as the second single versus the other two songs as songs two and three, in personal opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes a lot of people say, like, they don't necessarily, any band generally doesn't tend to release the strongest songs. Because what's left after that? So they got to give you a taste of everything.
I thought the same thing. You know, don't lead with that because there's nowhere to go but down. So, Walt, you asked me about Invincible Shield. Great track, the killer riff. The one thing about this album and the all-star, like you mentioned, Richie Faulkner. This is finally his Judas Priest album and his fingerprints all over it. And just the staples when they open these songs, they're just so killer. Great start, but the thing with this song is it's a little busy. I feel if they slowed it down just a tad, it would shine that much more.
Well, listen to what the meaning of the song is about. Forgetting the song and the music, right? It's what Priest always delivers on every album. It's We are a team, Priest and our metal fans, 50 years of growing. We have an invincible shield that's never going to go away. Guys, it's Metal Brothers Forever. It's all that stuff. Call it maybe a little campy or whatever, but I think it's placed right on the album because you got to deliver that message. That's what Priest is always about.
Yeah. Who else writes better anthems about the masses uniting against the with the power of metal than Judas right. Priest? I mean, this is it.
Right.
Well, that being said, the fourth track, Devil in Disguise, great song, slower paced song. It reminds me of like maybe a little older Priest, a different chapter.
Well, I think the placement of this song, as well as the song after, Gates of Hell, is perfect because it provides the contrast you need after tracks 1 through 3. I think both tracks they're great. They're shorter, but they're groovy. They're melodic. They're soulful. Devil in Disguise has that metal march feel to it. It's got a like and very sweet melodic solos on both of those tracks. And, you know, you kind of come out of tracks 1 through 3, maybe a little fatigued at like the 10, 11 minute mark. You're like, whoa, my God, like, is this going to be a whole album of this? And then you're like, oh, my God, this is even better because now I feel something completely different. It's like my emotional state went from blah, 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 to like uplifted and like, yeah, 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 yeah. So, yeah, killer.
Well, you know, you're right because it's like any great band has different elements of their sound that you appreciate. Don't get me wrong. I love the heavy Judas Priest, Exciter, and, you know, a lot of that, even, you know, the Defender stuff. And it's just so when you start hearing something like this where it's slowed down a little bit, it really just opens up and brings an old sound that you really love. Vince, what do you think about this song? You add anything to this?
Well, like Lance said before, a band like this with such a long history, it knows where to take from that worked before. And like you said, with that little marching cadence, it reminds me, I'm not going to say it's as good as, but it reminds me of that Metal Gods hi-hat shuffle marching gait. And it's like, that's what brought me in, is like, there's something familiar about this. And then it took me a while, and like, that's it. Metal Gods, that little shuffle, that nice beat that that Scott Travis laid down. I mean, it's, yeah, and like you said, it's a nice, different from the other tracks before. It's a nice change of pace.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
The fifth track, Gates of Hell, that subscribes to the old school song, too. It stays in that pocket. And it's a nice pocket to be in. Because, like I said, they do these different chapters really well. The sixth track, and it was one of the singles, Crown of Horns. Now, Vince and Walt, this is where our first major disagreement is. This song, to me, is 100% filler. Slow song, not much saying to me. Maybe I need to listen to it more, but it does nothing for me, and I've listened to this album at least 20 times.
I agree with you, John. I was disappointed. I said, I feel like I've heard this song before on the previous albums. It's not bad. It's just, it's a drop off, and it's a bit of a disappointment after tracks 1 through 5. And I guess the only thing that built it back up for me was maybe Rob getting a little bit serious. Maybe it's his age. Who knows if he's thinking this is the last Priest studio album, but maybe almost reflecting back about his maker, which is something that Priest doesn't ever touch on, is religion or your beliefs or your spiritual feelings. What I can appreciate that in that, but you're right, that was the only thing I really took out of it. But when you look at overall, still a good song, but not as good as tracks 1 through 5.
I learned the hard way that what you dream for comes from the pain you hold inside. I'm on the long road, there is no answer. You have to hold the love you find. I've been so helpless, but love was waiting just like
I actually liked it. After a couple of repeated listenings, I took a little more meaning into its lyrics. I think it's more autobiographical. I think it's about the price he paid to becoming the metal god. It says, heavy is the crown of thorns that rests upon his head that gave me all this life. It almost sounds like, remember when James Hetfield said that he was no longer himself, he was Metallica. He had no personality or persona other than Metallica. And I think Rob's kind of saying the same thing here. He's like, I'm the metal god, and yes, it took a lot out of me. It took most of my life through the drugs or whatever. And now I'm redeemed by the same thing. Not only was it my burden, but now it's my salvation. So I take a little bit more autobiographical meaning into the song. I think it's a nice bridge to the second half of the album.
Well, let me write this down on my assignment pad, heavy metal homework. Revisit Crown of Horns. You know, that's great. This is why we do this. Because, you know, all three of us were over in our own labs dissecting this. And this is the first time we really had a chance to talk about it. And, you know, they're going to change my opinion. No opinion needed to be changed about track 7, As God Is My Witness. Getting back to the heavy shit. Nice riffs. Love the chorus. Like to see this in the set. Walt, I know you're all jumpity over this track. What's your take on this?
I love it. I think it's a little... it's a bit of a narrow-minded track, I'm not going to lie. I think it's good. It fits in the album well, but it I say this kind of lightheartedly, but I feel like Richie was over his father-in-law's house one day jamming on Christmas Day, and him and George Lynch sat down, and he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I got this riff for you, Richie, and he took it. Sounds like it's off a Dokken record. You know, not bad, but I could see a drum solo in this one on the live track. You know, good, but, you know, is it the best? You know.
To me, this is the highlight of the album. It's almost like a thrashy speed metal classic. I think it's a furious riff. The way that Halford spits out that as God is my witness. I mean, it's got everything I want. And it's a great driving song, trust me. I go up and down the bike a lot, and that gets me to the next exit pretty fast. It's the highlight of the album for me.
Great.
Now, when the band, like Walt said at the beginning, they started releasing these singles, and they put 4 of them out. And it seems to be the new model now. These bands are releasing stuff every 6 weeks. And I think the second best song of the singles in one of my top 3 songs on this album is Trial by Fire. Absolutely love this song. Another epic open by fucking Richie. Dude is just like, this is a Guitar Hero album. Great chorus, and again, I prefer this style of Priest. It reminds me of, you know, like the older stuff, and Halford staying in that zone.
Shotgun in cold blood, didn't know my name, no one understood, so I took the blame. Where I left my mark, when the system fell, you were in my grasp.
Well, I don't want to be the naysayer, but when I heard this for the first time, I was disappointed as the second single. I'm not going to lie. Again, I feel like this is another track that they wrote over the last 2 albums, just repeated. You know, I just, it's slow and laborious, and the dun 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 trial by fire. You know, so. Again, good, not one of my favorites. I'm not going to lie. I could pick the back end of the album easily over this track.
I dig it. I like the 3/4 time signature and that heavy bass drum beat. I just, what you...
You don't always have to pound like a rabbit to have results. And this fucking song kills.
Well, let's look at the next track. You want to talk about different... Escape from Reality? I mean, listen, I love the album Jugulator, and this is rumored to be one of the only 2 tracks that Glenn wrote on the album. It could have been an old riff sitting around since Jugulator. It's heavy. And then that midsection trippy thing where Rob goes on, I mean, you know, the distorted vocals that could have been something off of like Sabbath's Volume 4. I mean, I love that fucking track, man. That one gets my blood pumping. I don't know. What do you guys think of that one?
I think you like it because, in my opinion, it reminds me of a fight song. I think that tripping on Small Deadly Space. It's got the heavy Ian Hill bass line, the eerie, creepily effective vocals by Alfred. The second I heard it, I'm thinking, fight. This is a fight song, and it's very much surprising that Glenn Tipton was the one who wrote it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Glenn's contributions, right? I mean, I had the impression after listening to the whole album, like, this is all Richie. Like, I feel like Richie learned his Judas Priest history. He's been in the band 10 plus years, plenty of global tours, albums under his belt. He knows how to write a Priest song. And I feel like maybe he needed Glenn there for a while to help him. But I don't think maybe Glenn is capable of doing that anymore. Although they're never going to say that in the press, and it's going to show equal writing credits. But I feel like there's a sound difference on this album that you didn't hear on Firepower. And I loved Firepower. Don't get me wrong. I thought that was a great album, but this one stands out differently. This is all Richie. And I really wonder just how much, aside from this track and Sons of Thunder, I think the facts that are out there are right. That was really the only two tracks that Glenn wrote, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were old riffs sitting on a tape somewhere.
You know, remember back in the day, the cool thing about Judas Priest, when they did the lyric sheet and you looked at it, they used to credit the solos. They were, you could see, you know, they would say Tipton did this, KK did that.
Hey, how do we know Andy Sneap is not sneaking in there doing some work? He's the producer. He's in the studio. He plays on the road. You know what? Listen, they have to sell product, and Glenn's name will be, if Glenn's name is on there, it's going to sell product, right? They're going to hide that. They're going to cover that up.
Do you think that different sound is because it was recorded when Glenn could say, play those songs, or that he just wrote them and that's the tone that they took?
I don't think Glenn wrote any of it. I think Richie did it all. He wrote it, and I think it's his stuff on there, in my opinion.
Not that it is a fight song, but maybe this is an old Priest song just to give an involvement with Glenn, but didn't make my top 11 list. But what did make my top list was the next song, Sons of Thunder. Walt, go, man. I love this song.
I mean, again, though, I love this one, too. And like Vince, like you said, I placed myself back in the year 2000, and I said, this is right off of the Halford Band's Resurrection album. Like motorcycle riding. I mean, you know, Priest has done that a lot of times through the years. There's another song about it. It's just a straight ahead metal track. And Sons of Thunder, Sons of Thunder. I mean, you don't even hear Rob in that chorus. It sounds like it's the rest of the band. I don't know, but I love it. It's a simple straight ahead metal song and it works.
Yeah, my notes. I really like the chorus once it gets going. Fun guitar squeals and nice quickie song. Like a smash and dash, nice and quick, and it comes in at like 3:10.
It reminds me of Saxon. I think it's a Saxon chorus. The group vocals, the delivery of the chorus. That's not saying it's bad. It doesn't sound like Priest to me. It sounds like a Saxon song. So,
well, you know, I'm just saying, Sneap did produce the new Saxon. That just came out. These guys were working together. Who knows? Maybe, you know, these guys go back 60 years. Maybe they traded one for another. But, yeah, great song. Last track, Giants in the Sky. Now, when Priest ends their albums, they always have these big, great tunes. Giants in the Sky.
Well, it's a slower, bluesier track, so there is the contrast in the music. But I like the theme of it, which is, it's kind of simple, but it works. It feels like Rob is talking about the fallen metal and rock heroes, everybody that has gone before us, and that, you know what, it's like the music will always be there, and when we're down and out and our times are down and out, you just reach for those CDs or those albums, and you're right back in my heart, you're right back in my ears. And maybe in a sense, and listen, this is just me saying this, if this is the swan song for studio albums of Priest, wouldn't this be the greatest way to end their history by saying 30 years down the line when these guys are, you know, in their retirement homes, that somebody new kid could look up a Priest album and say, wow, you know what? And that's Rob when he's 99 saying, this is why I wrote that song. It's so you never forget Judas fucking Priest.
I almost put that in my review, the same thing you just said about if this is the swan song, it's almost like a tribute to themselves in the future. I mean, that's honestly what it is. I mean, the legacy they're leaving behind, it's unmatched. I mean, they're forefathers of metal, so he could have very well been writing about this song himself in the future.
That's a good song. You guys got a little more deep than I did. Great opening of the song again. Richie, tasty solo.
Acoustic.
Agree about the, yeah, well, the second part is how they segued into it. And then the spoken vocal part, it almost, you know, brings you back to that Lochness from Angel of Retribution. It has that, you know, that sprinkle of that.
Well, guys, can we all agree, though, and I know we have some different opinions of the first 11 tracks, but overall, to me, there's no filler in any of these 11 tracks. It's just I think there's songs that are awesome, fucking great, and then songs that are really good, and then some songs that are just like, all right, they work, but it's still, I can't remember the last time I loved top to bottom, 1 through 11, every track on a Priest album, and I say that sincerely.
I'm with you. I think if you listen to it as a whole, it flows well. I think each song complements the other, whereas granted, like you said, the next song might not be the best, but you know what it's leading up to, or you know what it just came before it. Maybe you won't pick those songs out individually to listen to that you don't particularly like, but if you listen to the album as a whole, in my opinion, at least in my opinion, I'm not fast-forwarding anything until, you know, the bonus tracks.
You're spot on, bud. Oh. Spot on.
The Fight for Your Life should be in the top 11. And that song is fantastic.
Not to me. I just think it's...
How many times did you listen to it?
A lot.
Fight for Your Life, my God. The pre-chorus and the melody going into the chorus, it's just awesome. More great guitar leads. Anthemic song with a great uplifting spiritual chorus.
John, I agree with you. It's the better of the three deluxe tracks. I like it. I call it the 80s. I call it on this album, it's their 80s song. It feels like an 80s song, like something out of like 1986, 87. Yeah, I like it. Everything you just said, I agree with. I think it's a good track. Best of the three deluxed.
The other two, Vicious Circle, it's a goofy little anthem song. And then the last one, The Lodger. Fun fact on the song, The Lodger, it was written by, Bob Halligan Jr. He wrote Take These Chains Off, Some Heads Are Gonna Roll. He wrote the song Twist from Helford's Resurrection. He was the co-writer of your boy Kix's Don't Close Your Eyes, and he wrote their Midnight Dynamite CD. This guy's all over the place. Wrote Kiss's Rise to It, Helix's Rock You. But
now, did he come in just to write a song for this album? We don't know that.
Great question. And you wrote in your notes what it's about. It's about another Jack the Ripper inspired song.
Yeah. So they have these killer, like the last album was The Spectre, right? And it just feels like I put in my notes, it feels like it should be on a James Bond soundtrack. It's an okay track. It's a weird one. It's the weird one. Vicious Circle, I think, is that's filler. It's just generic and could be right off another Halford solo album. One of those 3.5, 1 minute ones. Unnecessary, but all right, I guess we'll take it. It's free.
Well, you know what? I came up with my synopsis and this is my summary, and the report card's pretty good. The thing that Priest did on this album that they got away from, like, especially on Firepower, you had a lot of, verse, chorus, solo, verse, chorus, fade out. They're taking chances. Almost like maybe the fact they had 4+ years to make this and some of these songs had a chance to settle and then they were able to go back to it, maybe tweak it a little. There's a lot of diversity. Like I said, I prefer the 70s, but this is a well put together piece of work. My three tracks, Serpents of the Kings, Fight for Your Life, and Trial by Fire, I give it an 8+ with a bullet.
I would just like to say, independent of, like, you know, I'm not going to give a rating overall, but what Vince led with at the top of the album is two big things to me. Is, come on, let's give a shout out to Ian Hill. Like, you actually hear Ian Hill on this album. Something about the production on this album, it stands out. There's points in there and you're like, holy shit, man, Ian's fucking visible in this track. And Scott Travis is drumming. He's always been a good, solid drummer, but he stepped up his game here. And there's a lot of good drumming on here. I mean, the song we were debating before is God Is My Witness. When did you ever hear Scott do the double bass drumming through the whole track? I've never heard him do that on a Priest album.
So good.
Maybe Painkiller song. That was it. But he upped his game on this one, and that's worth calling out.
I did read an article from Ian that basically said it was almost recorded in three different spots. Richie and Travis obviously were together. Halford and Phoenix doing the vocals. And one of the oddest things I've ever heard, the bass line was the last thing laid down. Whoever heard of a rhythm section part being the last part to be laid down?
And he said that him and Andy would do it on the road. They would record in his bass parts on the road in the hotel, because in this day and age, just plugs his bass in direct.
For obviously a computer-generated click-and-paste album, it sounds amazing. Like, I would have never expected such a great-sounding album coming from that type of environment. I would have sworn they would all be in the same room together.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's the hidden MVP. He's got to be the fifth member? I mean, he's the touring guitarist, so he knows the intricacies of the band. I think him and Richie, I think they just said, it's in your hands. You make the Priest album, we'll just follow along.
And that's why you got to put the KK Downing rumors to rest, because exactly what you just said, Vince, is why Andy, he's maybe not an official member of Priest, but he's their unsung hero.
I'm sorry, but if KK was still in this band, I don't think these last two albums sound nearly as good as they do with Richie.
I don't think you get the variety of the writing either.
No, not at all.
I don't think you'd get the freedom for Richie to spread his wings, if you will. You know, he is the Falcon. So when the Falcon, he definitely spread his wings on this one. And the thing with Andy Sneap, you know, from a professional standpoint, you know, he's up there with Zeus and a couple other of these producers that are the staples that are doing all these metal albums.
Yeah.
Any parting shots before we let people get out and get ready to go out tomorrow and buy this?
Well,
this comes out tomorrow.
I would
everywhere.
I can't wait to get to see the set list, because, you know, Priest typically does, let's say, 3 to 4 off the new one, and I would like to hear a lot more of it. And I hope they follow the same formula like previous tours. Well, they'll come back 2 or 3 times through a 2-year period, and maybe over the life, if you go see him several times, you might hear half the album eventually. Because I think this one has a lot of stuff that should be played live.
Vince, anything, or are you all good?
I'm good. I would just say go buy it or stream it, put it in your car, turn it up loud, and drive fast, because you'll definitely appreciate it more in that experience.
Just want to remind everyone, get up to our website, metalmayhemroc.com, sign up for the newsletter. Tons of information there. You know, we got radio shows, we got the YouTube channel. Vince is doing the reviews, the CD reviews. Metal Walt's going to shows every 90 minutes. He's at a new show. So it's things are happening. Things are good here. So for my co-host, Metal Walt, final Vince McDowell, I'm the Vernomatic, and this is Metal Mayhem ROC.
And remember, we are all Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder.
Why do you do that?
Because it was perfect. Perfect place to do it. Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.